Welcome to the RRBF podcast. In Dutch, it's called The Steen. In English, it's called, of course, The Stone. These podcast episodes are made possible by Hollis. We made these episodes during the MIPIM in Cannes at a sunny rooftop bar, and we interviewed a couple of people from the industry about what is going on at MIPIM, what is going on in their business. We talked about, of course, ESG. We had a couple of amazing sessions, so I hope you will enjoy all episodes that we recorded together with Hollis. Enjoy listening. Okay, here we are again with a new podcast episode at the Hollis rooftop bar at MIPIM. And today, can you introduce yourself a little bit?
Yeah, no, sure. I'm Tom Davies, one of the co-founders of Bloom, and we are an investor and developer of warehousing space in what we call the ultra-urban market. Ultra-urban market.
So what is that?
So effectively, we're trying to put warehousing back into inner city locations. A lot of warehousing over the years or industrial land has been lost to higher value uses, like residential.
Yeah.
And we're trying to put the warehousing back into those types of locations to serve the consumers and businesses at rapid speed that are in those markets.
Yeah, because you need to have logistics warehouses close to where the people need also their products. It's like the 15-minute city that everybody's talking about.
Yeah. The five-minute city.
Whatever it is,
it's got to be delivered quickly. And we feel that it's a long-term trend that is going to continue to grow, albeit right now, you know, with the macro environment how it is and a bit subdued and anemic in terms of growth, it's not a market that is growing exponentially like it was during COVID. But yeah, long term, we feel that is a trend. You can see in the US, you can see in Asia, people get stuff delivered much faster, both goods and services, than generally is available in the UK right now.
Cool. So what do you see is happening in the what is needed? Does it need to be the good location? Is it price? Is it durability? Is it ESG? Is it technology maybe? If it doesn't need to be smart? What is which components make a good place?
It's a very good question and is a multifaceted one. All of those points need to be considered when building and designing new schemes in these locations.
Yeah.
Ultimately, from our standpoint, location is fundamental.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Everyone always talks real estate is location.
Yeah. I always say it's money.
If you get the location right, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
For us, we want to be in the most undersupplied locations. So we want to be in locations like our current portfolio in Hackney, in Greenwich, in Camberwell, in Brixton, in Fulham. These are not traditional industrial locations or markets.
So why is that for you interesting then?
We're interested in those locations specifically and being in those undersupplied locations because we're reducing competition, but we're also creating a product that is premium and is going to be very highly coveted and will enable us, moving back to your point around profit, to hopefully be in a position where we can dictate or control the terms we agree with occupiers more so than we would be able to in a traditional industrial location like a Croydon or a Dagenham, where we might be competing with a tenant for three or four other units.
So what are the tenants looking for?
And again, it varies. And as a real estate developer who is speculatively developing everything like we are, we've got a portfolio now that totals around 285,000 square foot. Four of those sites are brand new builds. Two of them are in extensive refurbishments. And the other one is just more of a light refurb. So we're trying to create a product that we think is going to be suitable for the majority of occupiers, right? But we want to make sure that it is also flexible in terms of its design. When we started out, and as some people who are listening to this podcast might know, and for those that don't, we are also delivering multi-story industrial projects in London. We've got four schemes at the moment that are effectively two-story industrial buildings with goods lift access, which is effectively the first of its kind in terms of how we're developing it. Having said that, look back to Victorian flatted factories. They've been doing it for years, right? Yeah. They've been taking goods up and down. But we've designed them with better yard depth, better height, and better floor loadings so that effectively the first floor operational space can be used as effectively what ground floor space in traditional warehouse would be used.
Yeah.
So
cool.
We're creating a product that we hope will be suitable for the masses. Having said that, we've created a new concept. We're at the very early stages of it, and we're just starting the lease-up phase. So knock on my door in a year time, and I'll tell you if it's worked or not.
Nice. So as a developer, do you also keep it in your portfolio?
Yeah, we've got a portfolio currently of 7 assets. We're very fortunate to be backed by the US private equity fund, Angelo Gordon.
Yeah, that's how you can keep it in your own portfolio.
Exactly. Yeah. And we've got a kind of conventional joint venture where we've looked to scale a portfolio, an aggregated portfolio, to a decent size. And we feel that, you know, depending on where eventually we exit it, or whether or not we exit it, as the operating partner, we may well stay involved to manage it long term. But private equity money is more traditionally 4 or 5 year hold period, is quite short term. So there will be an exit at some point.
Yeah.
We do hope that, obviously, because we're creating something that is so unique and so irreplaceable, and we will have put a lot of hard yards in to actually create, you know, this type of high quality, top ESG credential product in, you know, very underspied locations, that hopefully it should be well received for an incoming investor.
Yeah. How is next question just about MIPIM? Because we are in the sun.
We are indeed.
We are at Hollis at the you're invited for the lunch, I believe.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So how has MIPIM been so far for you?
It's been really good. I mean, we've me and my business partner Sam are here from the Bloom team, and this is the third MIPIM we've been to. We came in 2022 and 2023. So we are, and also quite young, we were never here pre-COVID. And from what I understand, there's a lot less people here than there used to be.
Yeah.
Having said that, you know, I feel like there probably would have been too many people beforehand. Yeah. Because
before COVID, you had a lot of Russians. Yeah. They are, of course, now not here, but it changed with like a lot of Middle East people. Yeah. So it's changing. Yeah.
It's evolving, like the world, like the economy, and like the consumer, right? But, you know, we found it really useful, whether or not it's kind of going to a lunch, which is a bit more curated and not formal, but you know who's going, you can kind of line up some good discussions. But we often find, you know, combining that with some of the more impromptu bump intos, you know, on the La Croisette or on at Bar Roma, which is the institution here, right?
It is.
You end up building some quite good relationships, you know, meeting each other in a more casual, informal setting. And you're also able to meet people here that if you're trying to arrange to meet in London, or in Europe, we might not be able to meet them, but if you're trying to arrange to meet them in London, it might take 3-4 weeks, or
and here you just bump into each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So what is the feeling that you get from all the conversations about the future of real estate? Are we going to a better period, because 2023 was a hard time for real estate? 2024, what do you see? Or what is the reaction in the conversations?
I suppose it's a nuanced situation, but if we were to take the UK, for example, we are excited about the current environment, you know, hopefully being closer to the bottom of the property cycle, start of the new cycle.
Prices, yeah, that can be a good moment.
Hopefully it could be a good moment. Prices seem to have rebased a decent amount. There's still a little bit of an aspiration difference between buyers and sellers, but it will narrow eventually and we'll end up doing deals as a market. Having said that, you know, we're all holding on in the industrial sector to occupational demand, which has remained pretty strong, pretty good.
Yeah.
And, you know, with rates remaining longer, higher for longer, probably is going to help keep that good buying opportunity window open before the masses of capital come back into the market. But it also means rates remaining higher for longer might start impacting consumer and business spending, and therefore might impact the occupational market. And if that happens, that could make us pretty nervous in terms of reinvesting or investing into new deals.
Yeah.
But everyone's saying this is the potential IRR vintage of a generation investing now. So, and they're much more smarter than I am. So, just follow what they do.
Yeah, follow what they do. Yeah, cool. Last question that I have, ESG, sustainability, also an important topic these days in real estate. How do you see that? And then we go to lunch.
Thank God. It's really interesting because ESG is fundamental for future of our planet, for our business. It's a key pillar, and we are, everything we do, we're trying to create a high quality design-led portfolio that has top ESG credentials. So all of our new build schemes are BREEAM Excellent, EPC-A or A+, and our refurb schemes are trying to get into kind of EPC-A or A+ territory, We've also got a BREEAM Outstanding site coming forward in Camberwell. It's really important for us, but the environmental component of ESG is traditionally the one that is easier to tick, right?
Yes.
And I think the industrial sector is now, you know, there are a lot of developers pushing boundaries in that area, which is great to see. And we've just managed to have two of our schemes in Greenwich and Camberwell accredited with Paris Agreement alignment.
Oh, cool.
Which is a very new concept in the UK, and we feel like we're helping to kind of push boundaries and develop the game, really, in terms of the environmental element in the UK for warehousing, which is traditionally not as environmentally focused as some other sectors, you might say. On the social side, it's hard because as much as you can, and we do this, focus on employee well-being from the outset, from first design principles, which is really important for us, that we have our customers in a safe and comfortable environment to enable them to attract and retain high quality talent, yeah. Particularly when unemployment levels are near historic lows, you know, lows like they are in a positive way. But how do you impact social communities and ensure that what you're doing is going to be suitable for the local residents and businesses, and particularly in locations like we're in, where we're not in the middle of an industrial estate with industrial occupiers around us. We've got resi, schools, churches, offices all around us. So that's something that we're kind of really trying to focus on at the moment, and looking for initiatives to help make sure that we have a really positive impact, not just for our customers.
On the community.
On the communities and the local economy and environments that we invest in.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Really interesting stuff. Well, I wish you, the lunch is starting, so thank you very much for being here in this podcast at the Hollis rooftop. Enjoy the next couple of days at MIPIM. Enjoy the weather, because it's nice.
It's an absolute pleasure. It's certainly better than London right now. Yeah. Thanks very much, Uwe.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to the RRBF podcast. Thank you again also, Hollis, for making these episodes possible. And I hope to see you all somewhere at an international trade show. And hopefully we create a better built world together. Bye for now.